The Trader Cobb Crypto Show, talking business in blockchain.
G'day guys, welcome to the Trader Cobb Crypto Show. Today's guest I have Mr. Nye. This man has been around the blocks, been in the space for a long time, and we're going to cover whatever the hell we want. Good to have you on the show, man.
Good to be here, bro.
Really nice to meet you.
Yeah.
So listen, obviously what we want to do to kick things off is I want to know how you got started. Like, what got you into this space and when was it?
2012, 2013, me and a couple buddies were just like fucking around on the internet, like buying some Bitcoins and just messing around, having a good time. And then took some years off of it, man. I was into my other entrepreneurial ventures, making mobile apps and things like that.
Yeah.
And got back from Burning Man in 2017 and my buddy hit me up. He was like, hey bro, I'm getting really heavy into crypto. You should check this out. And the rest is history, man. Started to spend 10, 15 hours a day on the computer, studying, learning, researching, trading, and got into it.
And you got in early, right?
Yeah, totally. I mean, the 2012, 2013 was really early, but I wasn't like serious about it. You know what I mean? It was more just like, what is Bitcoin? I'll buy some of them. I'll buy a little bit of Litecoin. We'll spend it on whatever we can spend it on back in those days. And totally forgot all about it. Like, didn't really like take anything seriously.
Ended up, of course.
Ended up like actually losing like hundreds of thousands of dollars worth of Litecoin, just because I left it on an old computer that I like threw away and just like didn't even think about it until 2017 came around and everybody's like, "Yo, Litecoin's $300 or $250," and I was like, "Didn't I have like 10,000 or 100,000 of those somewhere?" You know, like, and yeah, it is what it is. It's cool story to have.
Yeah. Well, we've all got them, mate. I mean, look, I've blown a lot of accounts, not in crypto. I've been trading for 12 years, and when I started out, you know, like, dude, I blew 3 accounts in the space of 3 months.
Damn.
And I'm happy to say that because, you know, the best place to learn is from your failures.
Of course.
You don't fail if you don't stop. So what did Bitcoin mean to you back in those days? I mean, you were talking about, you know, your progression into the space. Didn't take it too seriously. When did it become something more powerful to you? Like, when did it shift that you went, all right, we're on here?
Middle of 2017.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, it's when everybody was taking it serious. And like when like real money was being made and I didn't even like follow the progression in between 2013 and 2017 like at all.
Left it.
Had heard about it a couple other times. Didn't really take it very seriously. Had clients in my other business that wanted me to pay me in crypto. Didn't really take it serious at all. And yeah, 2017 came around and I like really sat down and like looked at it because I didn't have like a lot of other things going on in my life at that time. And really sat down and learned about it on a, like a deep, deep extent and said, wow, this shit's the future. This is where I need to be spending my time and my energy.
And what are you doing now? Like, I mean, I know you are a very well-traveled man.
Yep.
You probably spend more time in the air than you do on the ground at the moment.
It's sad.
What's your role? Like, what's your message? What are you trying to do? Are you trying to educate people, help people, share your... Like,
That's pretty much what I do now.
What's your experience?
Right now, what I've done is I built this channel out, mostly on Twitter, but I'm on like YouTube and other social media platforms that reaches about 8 to 10 million impressions a month.
Wow.
And I just talk about crypto. I talk about the experience of trading to the experience of the development of the space as a whole to an experience of how the technology can help different industries. I talk about an extent of different things, things that just I'm interested in, things that like I'm passionate about. And besides that, I go traveling around the world. Like we're in Dubai right now. So I'll be speaking here tomorrow.
Yep.
So I do a lot of speaking. And finally, I run a marketing company. So I started a marketing company about 3 months ago that really focuses on social media growth, community building for companies in the crypto space.
Well, we're going to talk. We've got lots to talk about.
Cool.
So, I mean, obviously, you know, last year did see a huge rise in the price.
Okay.
We saw a lot of people, you know, make a lot of money on paper, all right, so to speak.
Of course.
Were you one of the people that saw the writing on the wall, did take some profits, or are you a maximalist and you just want to hodl to the end?
No, I definitely took profits.
Okay, good man, because that's and what were the signs for you? Because I educate a lot of people now and they say, I wish you had been doing this through 17, but like you, I didn't take it seriously then. I got in July of 2017. I'd been introduced to Bitcoin in 2013, but as a trader, the tools didn't exist. I didn't have charts, I didn't have volume.
Of course.
Like, I just didn't even have stop losses. It's simple stuff that I as a trader need to operate. I mean, I was trading FX, commodities, all that sort of stuff. For me, and it was personally, my personal account, so it wasn't for a bank or anything. For me, crypto became real because my skill set matched the market in the middle of last year. I could see what was going on as far as things don't keep going up forever.
Yeah.
Around $15,000 was the point at which I started to think, okay, this is getting a little bit hectic. Yeah. Because we had those $2,000-$3,000 days in a row, massively overextended. For me, the writing was on the wall. What was it for you that sort of made you start to, I'm not saying when did you get out, it's your personal information. I'm saying, what were some of the signs that you went, righto, we got some bones here in this bank account. I want to sort of clock a couple of those.
Totally. So I don't have like trading experience like you have to any degree. So it was still very, very new to me. It was like, okay, wow, this market's like going parabolic. Everybody's freaking out. Everybody's making lots of money. yeah, it was great. And like, it's pretty obvious things can't go up forever, but you can get caught in the euphoria of it. You know, it's like a psychological thing. Yeah. Everybody gets really, really excited and really, really happy, and it keeps going up and up and up. The sign for me was it started to go down, you know, and I can't like attribute it to skill that I cashed out.
But you did.
Yeah, I did. It was very lucky though. Like it was very lucky, you know. I sold a lot of my coins, threw it into some ICOs. ICOs were really popping off, so
yeah,
I made real good money in the ICO realm, 3-4x in a week. You know what I mean? And it was mostly luck. I'm gonna be honest, it was mostly luck, but it played out really well. I'm super grateful for how it worked out.
And so, okay, you took profits.
Yeah.
You recycled them in ICOs. You took profits on the ICOs.
Took profits on the ICOs.
Back in the dollars, back in the Tether. How do you manage your portfolio?
I don't ever mess with Tether. I think we saw like 2 weeks ago or a week ago what's really happening with Tether and like the potential of it collapsing. Mm-hmm. I went from like a dollar down to 80 cents, which is not good. I think that's only the first sign of what's really going to happen with Tether. But I never mess with Tether. I took a lot out into dollars, paid some bills, got some like debt out of the way, cleared like things up in my life.
Made your life simple.
Made my life simpler. And cleared a lot of things up and felt like I was in like a good position in life in general and had enough cash flow to say, hey, like I can actually build something with this. Cause for me, like that's what trading was always about. It's what it always will be about is like creating more cash flow for me to build more things in the world. Like that's what
I like drives you, right?
Yeah.
It's not just about money. It's about finding something that you enjoy doing.
Of course.
And that's what's really, really important.
Money is only a catalyst to create more comfort and to create more enjoyment. And I enjoy creating things, so.
I enjoy time.
Yeah.
I use money to get time.
There you go.
Just wanna go fishing.
There you go, nice.
That's what I do.
Awesome, that's cool. That's cool. I don't really mess with fishing, but that sounds fun.
Oh, mate, think about this. You're outdoors, in the ocean, you got all the beauty around you. It's the only time I can truly, truly chill out, or in the ocean, swimming, surfing,
beautiful.
That sort of thing.
That's cool.
But coming back to that, I mean, look, we saw the up, we saw the down, you cashed out, you've done well, you're still in crypto. Have you gotten back in?
I'm starting to buy now.
You are? Okay, that was the question. Yeah. So from your point of view, I mean, look, I got my views on why I'm doing the same.
Yeah.
Okay. I've been buying throughout different areas. I tend to scale into a trade and I'll scale out of a trade. And that goes for my investment portfolio as well. Yeah. I don't just go all in because, why not?
Yeah.
I do it because I know what I'm doing. Yeah. I take my time and there's no emotion.
Of course.
I'm very, very, very boring when it comes to my execution. But what has it been that's made you feel like now's the time to start to accumulate again?
So, I mean, Bitcoin's looking pretty bottomed out. A large majority of altcoins are getting bottomed out. There's really low market caps on some projects that are really, really high
insane.
Potential.
Yeah.
Now, will all of them survive? Definitely not. But there are some projects that I liked during the last bull run that I liked even during like the bounce in the bull run in like May, April timeframe.
Yep.
And some newer projects that came out in the beginning to middle of this year that have just gotten completely wrecked out of ICO phase because everybody just sells them off.
Yep.
I really don't think we're at the turnaround phase yet. I think with some altcoins, like we've seen over the last week, 2 weeks,
we've
like
seen
things
some moves.
Some of them are just pumping out there. Some of them are making some big moves.
Yep.
But I don't think we've seen like a full turnaround yet. I think we need some Bitcoin action to have that happen. I don't really see where the money's gonna come from just yet. That being said, even if Bitcoin does potentially go down to 4,500, 5,000, or even low 4,000, high 3,000 range, I'm comfortable starting to average in here. I'm comfortable starting to buy some of these projects out there that have decent market caps that are just bottomed out, or at least what seem to be bottomed out. And I'm willing to take that risk. It's low risk, high reward right now.
Well, that's the way to look at it. And you've got to have a plan. You obviously do. The whole scaling in thing, look, I'm buying now. If it goes to 5,000, I'll be buying at 5. If it goes to 4, I'll be buying at 4. If it goes to 3, I'll be buying at 3. If it goes below 3, I'll start to question my own sanity. But the underlying technology isn't changing. It is developing. And it is really interesting to see this year because, I mean, we haven't seen those cycles. You mentioned that some of the alts are popping off. Key was Ripple, the first of the big dogs to actually get a pump on. First this year since, you know, the early January, February. But I find it really, really fascinating because what we'd call it in traditional markets would be green shoots. You know, the ground's been burnt. The first things that pop up are the odd bits of grass hither and thither. Yeah. And Ripple was one of those. We saw Bitcoin Cash even have a micro push. We're seeing Qtum, there's a little push on there. There's been a few, and a few within the top 100 and a couple within the top 10, Ripple being the key example there. These green shoots are starting to come about. And when we talk about trading, I look at the charts and I read the charts. We've done this. People go, oh, look at all the lower highs coming in. It's like, well, if you're going to look at the lower highs, you've also got to look at the higher lows. You cannot weigh anything towards what you think, because who gives two hoots about what you think? I don't care what you think. I care what the market's telling me. So we've seen Fidelity coming in, having a chat. We've seen Goldman coming in. We're seeing a lot of other big players coming in.
Situation.
Now, are you liking this or are you not liking this?
So I think it's positive for the space as a whole, you know. A lot of traders online think it's really a really bullish signal, and I think it is a bullish signal for like a long-term 5-10 year play.
Long-term, got it.
Yeah, like definitely a great play, but then you also have to think of it from the perspective of like, if Goldman Sachs is coming in, they're going to out-trade you. They are you've got experience. Most of these people online do not have tons of experience.
Yeah.
They will out-trade you. They will come in. They will have algorithms that are better than the way that you can handle any trade.
Yep.
They will know when to enter. They will know when to exit. And trading is competition. If you can trade better than the other person, you're going to make more money. Exactly. Yeah. Thankfully, I'm not like super focused on trading right now. I'm more in the swing trade or a HODL position for most of my coins. So it doesn't really like threaten what I'm doing. Yeah. But for people who sit on there and day trade, then that's a huge threat to them.
Well, I'll tell you what, from my point of view, I come from a background of trading foreign. So I've fought these big dogs for a long time in my own portfolio. I've traded FX, traded bonds, I've traded all those products. What I see, if they did replicate something that we have in more traditional markets, is volume. Yeah. Now, volume's a good thing. Because right now we get a lot of slippage. You know, you go to buy something and you can't buy it at the price you want because the books are too thin.
Of course.
You don't get what you want. It increases your risk as a trader because your stop loss might be here, but you get taken out here or here. Your risk grows. So it'll bring more credibility for traders to join into that market. But what it also does is it creates amazing trends. You're right, they're going to have their quants, they're going to have their algorithms doing their thing. But that will create trends and they want those trends to go in a certain direction for a certain amount of time. So what I talk about is I'm not trying to pick the bottom and I'm not trying to pick the top. You focus on the chunk in the middle and you can make a living from this because you work with them.
Of course.
You don't fight them. You follow that herd with them. I see it as being a positive. It's a building stage right now. I've spoken to a couple of guests today and we discussed the fact that, you know, we have for the last 3 to 4 months now seen Bitcoin more or less consolidate in a pretty sideways range and not do a great deal. Now, of course, for the online community, you know, sometimes they're ropeable. They hate it. They want to either go on flying up or going down so they can complain about it.
Of course.
But the bottom line is technology and businesses aren't built like that. They need time and space to breathe. Now, if there's good treasury management, they should be fine. Their runway should still have plenty of equity plenty of capital to allow them to execute. What I'm enjoying seeing now is seeing the projects that are doing, not just relying on a listing here to pump the price. Are there any projects, and I'm not asking you to shill anything despite your name, is there anything at the moment that's really captured your attention as far as they're actually executing a plan in a positive way based to their roadmap?
I mean, I think a lot of projects are doing that right now, you know? Nothing specific that comes to mind. I mean, there are a couple companies that I guess I could say there's a couple companies that I'm working with that I'm in like advisors for and things that that are doing really, really well that I'd like love to be a part of. So for example, Agora.vote is one of those projects with. They're a voting platform that's just constantly building stuff. They're working really hard. They've already got a working product. They're working on some amazing partnerships, things like that. Also, shout out to the guys over at Temco, another one of my clients that I'm working with, my marketing company. They're building Korea's first supply chain.
Korea's first supply chain?
Yeah, via the blockchain. Have some big investments from, I think, Korea Investment Partners, KIP, which is actually their first, it's the largest investment firm in Korea, and it's their first investment in blockchain technology.
Okay.
So big stuff happening. But to be honest with you, man, despite names or things like that, the whole space is moving forward. And what we're starting to see now is that companies are forced to actually create things, which is great. You know, we're kind of out of this euphoria phase where you can just buy an ICO and get a 4X next week, no matter if they have a working product or just a white paper.
Just an idea.
Yeah, exactly. And it's positive. I like it.
Well, look, you've kind of touched on something that I'm very passionate about, execution. I'm an operator. We get things done and we do them quickly and we work hard. I'm sure you're in the same sort of boat. You don't build a business by just, you know, not getting shit done in the real world. Crypto is coming into the real world now. And if we think about last year during that ICO craze, I sort of reflect back to school projects. You know, a school project, you'd have a pretty picture, that's the website. You'd have your little video, that's the pitch, right?
Yeah.
Then you've got your white paper, there's a couple of spelling mistakes, but that's okay. What? That's your business plan, you can't even get the spelling right? And they still raise $30-40 million.
There's
now, what are these kids doing? I've got no problem with young people in business.
Yeah.
But you need to have somebody there who's an old head that can actually run this. And I'm seeing now the level of projects, because it's much more difficult to raise right now, Nye. So what projects are still raising? Different money's coming, VCs are getting involved now. The type of projects that we're seeing are run by business people that have an idea, have a basic execution passed, meaning they get shit done, and they're rolling it out in a different way now. So we're seeing better projects with more maturity come into the ICO space, or, you know, SEO, security, STO space.
Yeah, of course.
We are seeing it develop. Do you think we're really at the beginning of the maturity stage, or are we
further along? We're very beginning.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, no question. I mean, you got to think about it like, none of these projects actually have real world use case yet.
Yeah.
They are attempting to have real world use case, but none of them are actually being applied to a large audience of people of over 1 million, 2 million people that are actually using it. Most of them are too complicated for a normal person to use. They haven't simplified it. They've actually made it more complicated to use cryptocurrency, which is a major, major problem.
Yeah.
That being said, I still think we're 5-10 years out, man. I think we'll start to see it in the next 3 to 5 years really taking effect. But for an actual real world, Disney level or something like that level of a company, it's gonna be 10 years minimum, in my opinion.
Well, it takes time to build companies. Tech startups, when they are at the startup phase, tend to do great things very, very quickly. And then they've got to try and execute that plan. I'm just constantly fascinated by what's going on in this space. One thing, you're in marketing in this space, right? So marketing, you go to a lot of events, all right?
Yeah,
you're a mad dog on the plane, right? You must just have that wide.
Yeah.
I see a lot of pitches that are woeful is a very polite way of putting it.
Mm-hmm.
What I see is a CTO who gets up there and talks about all the tech that 1% of that audience understands, and he loses the 99% of that audience.
Yeah.
Are you, what's your message to these projects that you're working with? You're a good orator, you're a good speaker, you understand the space, you've seen how bad it can be. What's the plan to sort of try and help people to connect with the project?
Of course.
We're not connecting.
I mean, the problem is most of them have overcomplicated it, which is understandable. You know, they're developers, they don't understand marketing,
right?
You know what I mean? And that's really what I work with a large majority of my clients on, beyond just working with social media and community building. It all begins with messaging.
Yep.
How can we create a more solidified message that is so simple that in one sentence or two sentences max, the basic person can understand what you're doing and why it's relevant?
Doing the Steve Jobs 4-minute pitch, whole business.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. I literally want it 2 sentences, you know? Yeah. If I can't go to your website and in the first 2 sentences on the home front page, I understand what you do, at least at a very basic level, then you're doing it wrong.
Yeah, you're going to move on.
Yeah, exactly. And that's really what I work with people on. And it's a major issue in the space.
And attention is important. I mean, that is the currency of the future, is attention. you know, millennials especially, which there's a lot of us in this space. You know, I'm just on the cusp, still make it in that bracket. But, you know, as it develops, as it goes with the social media, we understand how to use this stuff. There are kids that have grown up with a mobile phone connected to things their whole life. The world is changing. What we've got to try and do, I think, is these guys know what's up. Right? They're gonna adopt technology quickly. But without the old cats involved as well, we're gonna have that, I guess that this is the way we want it because we're used to it, but this is the way the future is. Clash, clash, clash. Yes. We've got to have that seamless involvement of everybody in the space to make it all work. So
100%. It's even kind of like the, let's just take it from this perspective of like banking, right? Yeah. Or the financial world. We have this new world kind of thing where it's like, it's only crypto. Forget the banks. We don't need the banks. You know, like we're trying to do everything without the banks. Yeah, yeah. And we have the banks that are like, feel threatened by crypto, obviously. Yeah. But like you said, there needs to be a middle ground. There needs to be a way that benefits both parties.
Yeah.
And if it can benefit both parties, and then it's going to benefit the world around us better.
Mate, we can all be friends. We can all learn from each other. And I've learned a bit from you today. If there's anything I can do, I'll give you access to all my training. If you want to learn, look into trading a little bit more.
Appreciate it.
I'd love to show it to you. No, it's been an absolute pleasure
having
you on the show. Let everyone know where they can find you, mate.
Guys, you can find me on Twitter, Nye the Crypto Guy, YouTube, Nye the Crypto Guy, IamNye.com. Check me out.
Excellent. Guys, have a fantastic day from Dubai. Bye for now.
The Trader Cobb Crypto Podcast is hosted by Craig Cobb. All Trader Cobb courses, products, and tools can be found at tradercobb.com because experience matters.